Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA News, I'm Corey Myers. There's finally a winner of the enormous Powerball jackpot, a winning ticket worth over $1.7 billion. The second biggest lottery prize in U.S. history was sold in Fraser Park, California. The White House taking aim at junk fees.
The Biden administration is taking a strong stance against junk fees. At the White House Wednesday, President Biden said the Federal Trade Commission is putting forth new regulations to prohibit businesses from imposing undisclosed and deceptive fees.
Charges that are taking real money out of the pockets of American families. These junk fees can add up hundreds of dollars, weighing down family budgets, making it harder to pay family bills.
The proposed rule would include ticketing agencies, hotels, apartment rentals, car rental services, and more. Additionally, a separate regulation aims to forbid junk fees within the banking industry. I'm John Schaefer.
The United Auto Workers strike adding more members. The union said in a tweet that 8,700 UAW members at Ford's Kentucky truck plant are joining the strike. Large F-Series pickups, one of the company's more profitable vehicles, made at that plant. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise has emerged as the Republican Party's choice for Speaker of the House. Dave Collins has the details.
In a closed-door Republican conference meeting, Scalise secured a narrow victory outpacing Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan with a vote of 113 to 99.
Obviously, we still have work to do. We're going to have to go upstairs on the House floor and resolve this and then get the House opened again. We have a lot of work to do.
To assume the position formally held by ousted Speaker Kevin McCarthy, the Louisiana congressman will now need to garner at least 217 votes on the House floor.
This is USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
A San Francisco judge signing off on a massive Facebook privacy settlement. The social media giant has agreed to pay $725 million to settle claims that it violated users' privacy. If there are no appeals, Facebook says it will send out payments to affected users soon, but an exact timeline has not been determined. Hollywood studios and the union talks are breaking down. Lance Pry has more.
Talks between Hollywood studios and the Actors Union are on hold after negotiations broke down yesterday. The Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, which represents the studios, said the two sides were still too far apart. The strike has been going on for 3 months. Simply put, actors want 2% of revenue from online streaming shows. Many of the studios say that number is unrealistic. The union SAG-AFTRA also wants limits on the use of artificial intelligence.
The Taylor Swift Eras Tour concert movie opens today. Swift appeared in Los Angeles yesterday for the premiere screening of her concert film and said since the demand for the movie is so overwhelming, the release date was moved up one day from Friday's premiere in the U.S. and Canada. Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour, expected to bring in $100 million in its opening weekend. I'm Corey Myers, USA News.
It was your best vacation ever. You on a beach having a great time. Then some stranger walked up and said, "Hey, how'd you like to come here for the rest of your life?" And then he went on and on about how much money you could save. You listened, saw his presentation, ended up signing a contract. And now, 5 years later, you have a timeshare you never use. But you're still paying for it. That's the contract. But what if we could show you a legal way to end the contract and get out of your timeshare nightmare? It's called Timeshare Exit Defense. Our lawyers will work with the gigantic timeshare company lawyers and get you out of your agreement. No more maintenance fees, no more payments. Call now. Get your free ebook to learn how to exit your timeshare.
800-296-1332. 800-296-1332. 800-296-1332. That's 800-296-1332.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Bill Martinez Show. Great to have you with us. We've got Dr. Wilfred Riley going to be joining us. He is the author of three books that I know of, probably more, actually. We always talk about Taboo 10 Facts that you can't talk about, Hate Crime Hoax, and also his new book, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, which is now ready for pre-order. And that book especially is very appropriate because of the topic. And the topic today is that parents are reclaiming their rights for their kids' sakes. Let's welcome Dr. Wilfred Riley, the professor of political science at Kentucky State University and the author of said three books. Will, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Great to be here, Bill. Always enjoy working with you. Good to be on the TV show.
Well, yeah, this is a maiden flight for us, so we'll try and do the best we can to behave ourselves, okay?
Am I one of the first guests?
Oh, no. I've been trying to get you on this for, I think, for almost 2 months. I think this is the first time that you were available. So, it's always an honor to have this time together to elevate the conversation because, you know, at the very heart of all this is we want our audience to be all the smarter for the impartation, especially of your wisdom and expertise, and especially as it relates to education. It might be appropriate right off the bat, you know, your book, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, that really kind of sets the stage for where we are in today's education. Tell our audience about this book, how they can get their hands on it, and why this was something that you had to write.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of how to get the book, without false modesty, I mean, all my books have been bestsellers or close, at least for a little bit, you know, all praise. And, yeah. I mean, so you can find them pretty much everywhere. I mean, this book's available on Amazon for pre-order. The first two came out with Regnery, great right-leaning press. This one's coming out with HarperCollins, which is even larger on the national scale. Right. So it's pretty easy to find. I would recommend either Amazon or your local bookstore, but there are, you know, a dozen other options, Goodreads and so on. Down the line. And this book, I mean, we'll break it down in a little more detail, I'm sure. But really just, it looks at this idea that we constantly hear that Americans are being lied to kind of from the right. Mm-hmm. Like in higher ed, there are all of these books, Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, looking at, you know, historical dishonesty about what Native Americans, Mexican Americans did in the historical USA. You know, Lies My Teacher Told Me, which is a very left-wing book. It's written by a Marxist, and it looks at that kind of jingoistic education you might have gotten in the 60s in the heartland. And I started asking, well, okay, it's fair enough. I mean, there obviously were great Native and so on contributions and, you know, brave leaders on the other side. Sure, sure. But for the past 50 years, I mean, people that are on kind of the American center left have controlled education and controlled media. So are they telling the truth?
Right.
Why are we still hearing about Emmett Till?
Right.
And not to make fun of it. And so this book looks at that, like 10 big narratives. Are they real?
Yeah. Can this book balance it out a bit, Will? I mean, that would be the hope that, because like you and I've always talked about, is that we need disparate conversation and participation. This is important, you know, for us to be able to grow in intellect and come up with some better options, right?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, I mean, I have no problem with and I think this is true in general for the American political right and center. Like, I have no problem with people on the left talking. Now, there are things like pornography and obscenity that are often banned by law. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can't have those things in school libraries, that kind of thing. But
you're
you're
not supposed to anyway.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, apparently there are quite a few cases. But, I mean, the point, though, is, like, short of that, I mean, I have no problem with good faith liberals saying they favor a different healthcare system or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a recent article, I forget the journal, but it was called Even Frenchmen Have Accomplished That, and it talked about national healthcare. And I thought that was actually funny and sort of a legitimate point from the other side.
Right.
So I think most of us, quote unquote, don't object to an open discourse. But the issue with that is that a lot of people on the other political side do. And so to really have a fair exchange of ideas, everyone needs to be able to exchange ideas. You can't censor the union guy or the liberal. Like, admittedly, we used to in the 30s or 40s. But you also can't censor the large majority of the country that's making points about gender ideology or the quote-unquote anti-racist movement or foreign policy that are just accurate.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I'm very glad to contribute to that conversation. And I want to give Harper, Regnery is a conservative press, but I mean, some credit for saying, well, we're going to publish books like this. I mean, there have been a series of these that have come out recently. I mean, I think Lauren Boebert's releasing a book, Marco Rubio. So, I mean, to have a discussion, you have to have two people talking.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what the exchange of ideas is all about. And if we're going to solve the problem, we need to get all participants involved. You and I have been talking about this for ages, Will. We cannot maintain our, positional stance in the silos of our lives and our echo chambers, because that doesn't serve the grander purpose. I mean, it's so frustrating. And I don't know if we just have to get so frustrated that our silos blow up, whatever. Well, thank God if that's what happens, so that we can talk about it, because regardless, if you talk to the left or to the right, they all agree it's not working. Okay. All right. Good observation. What do we need to do in order to make it work? Is that too tough a question to ask?
No, I think that's a really valid question to ask. And I think when you look at when America has worked, and I will say a lot of the things people complain about today, like immigration, now we need to stop illegal immigration totally.
Yeah.
But I mean, the wave of migration into the USA from, you know, Ireland, southern Italy, if you want to parallel today's Hispanic migration, the Black West Indies, so on. I mean, that's been much greater at different times in the past. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the boogeymen that people trot out in terms of why the country is not working as it used to don't actually work that well. I think that the answer is pretty simple. The causes are complex, but people are refusing to interact in an adult way and sort of just do their jobs. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things thus become very impractical. Like the U.S. government has been funded by what are called omnibus packages for something like the past decade.
Exactly.
Because Congress can't agree to just pass individual budgets. Like the Republicans and the Democrats can't sit down and say, okay, if you take some of these dubious books out of education and you stop, you know, putting some of these requirements on students, we would be willing to increase funding slightly in these states. You can't have that conversation. So you just put together a giant package where everything is budgeted at the same level as the year before, plus an inflation figure. And that's how the government keeps running. And of course, that's not ideal. I guess what I'm saying here is everyone does agree things don't work. In the past, when you've had leaders, Reagan and Tip O'Neill even, but certainly going back before that to Roosevelt and Eisenhower, people have had to sit down, look at a real problem, and decide to solve it. You don't exploit the problem for clicks online. You actually think about what the solutions are. And for a lot of problems like crime, they're very simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, and this has been the problem of politics and why people hate politics, because politics is not uniting us. And unfortunately, as they say, politics is downstream the culture. So it really speaks of the cultural animus and disunity that we have right now and the dysfunction.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right. For about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're gonna love it. And you're gonna love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. That's 800-699-0358.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Do you use pesticides in your job? Specifically Roundup. Roundup, made by Monsanto, contains a chemical called glyphosate, which has been linked to cancer. If you've used Roundup and you have cancer, you may be entitled to a cash award. Over $10 billion has been set aside to pay users of Roundup who've been diagnosed with cancer. Time is almost running out to file your claim. So if you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've used Roundup, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And time to file is almost gone, so please call right now.
800-890-7088. 800-890-7088. 800-890-7088. That's 800-890-7088.
Because because the culture is so dysfunctional, it's almost as if, well, the politics has kind of supplanted, you know, the culture. And instead of politics being downstream culture, it's like, you know, the culture is downstream politics.
Yeah, I think that, well, it's not so much that politics has supplanted culture. It's that a lot of the things that used to traditionally give America culture have vanished.
Uh-huh.
And so there are really two points here. Like, first, in terms of things like religious identification, are you a Catholic? Are you a Baptist? Do you go to services once a week? I mean, that's declined by something like 50%.
Yes.
And I think we both think that's a very big one, but that's combined with a lot of other things. Like, mm-hmm. we no longer have a partly drafty army. So not every guy does their 2 to 4 years in the military where you have to meet people from around the country and get along with them and probably mm-hmm. fight with them against a fairly tough opponent. You know, much lower number of people play varsity sports. There's a whole book called Bowling Alone that breaks down all of this, especially for men.
I love that. Bowling Alone. What a great book.
Yeah, it's a great title. But, I mean, like the old bowling leagues where, I mean, your wife would probably be cooking real meals 4 or 5 days a week and she'd want you out of the house.
Yeah.
So you and the boys would, you know, you'd have a couple beers and you'd go take a cigar and you'd go down to the Union Hall or whatever and you'd bowl. Or you'd plan a trip for the family, or you'd go fishing or something. Those were organized groups. And
exactly.
that's really declined. So, like, one of the points they make in that book, Bowling Alone, is that there are almost as many bowling alleys today, but the people that go there are either single, practicing their competitive game, or they're going on, like, first-time hookup dates.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You don't have families. You don't have leagues. So that kind of thing, the reason people care so much about politics in America, I think, is that a lot of people, I think this is especially true on the left, when you look at religious services or family size, don't have anything else to identify with. You see the same thing with pets, by the way, mm-hmm. where people are walking around with, like, Rottweiler puppies and baby carriages with parasol hats on their head and all that. I mean, you know, it's funny, but it's like there's a sadness underlying that. Like, you know,
it's quite the commentary, no doubt about it. Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, but I mean, the person doing that is almost invariably a young businesswoman that purchased an expensive baby carriage, probably thought a relationship was going to work out. It didn't. You got the carriage, and now you got a dog in it. And it's funny, and I love dogs. I mean, but like, that is not where you want to be as a society. And that has generational impact. So, like, one of the undiscussed facts in our society is these sort of crazy senior ghettos. Like, mm-hmm. there's plenty of nice retirement facilities as well. But I mean, like, if you're on kind of the public dime or close to it, I mean, you're going to be going to a pretty bad place if you don't have kids to help you out down the road. And that's just kind of an undiscussed fear of a ton of people. Like, I've had older relatives ask, you know, is that going to happen in our family? The answer is, of course not. Yeah. But that kind of thing, that becomes cyclical when you don't have those other identifiers. So I think a lot of the people pushing dogs and baby carriages, not necessarily religious, not necessarily in a relationship that's going to lead to marriage. I don't want to stereotype too much here, but at least on one side, those seem to be the people that are very, very frenzied about Tennessee abortion policy or something like that. Yeah. So to rebuild politics, you may first have to rebuild culture.
No doubt. And at the very base, like you touched on this, it has to do with the moral fiber. We have become unhinged and disanchored from these moral principles that are the basis of our constitution. It's the basis of our civility, the strength of our family, our communities. And I believe, because of the degradation of morality in our societies today, this is the manifestation of the America that we're seeing right now. And hopefully we get to that point, Will, where, you know, I often tell the kids, experience defines preference. Well, how much more experience and pain do you have to go through to realize that's not working and we're smarter than this?
Yeah, I think morality is an interesting conversation because, I mean, in all honesty, you know, I'm not an amoral person, but I come from the business world. There's some very successful predatory people, and there have been some very successful hunter societies like Rome. Mm-hmm. But that's not the model that America was established on. I think the American ideal was very much that for the constitutional guarantees to work out, citizens would have to like one another to a certain extent and expect honorable behavior from one another.
Exactly.
Would have to view one another as countrymen.
Yeah, you don't go out and get into a duel and shoot each other, okay? Just saying.
Well, I mean, we allowed that for 100 years.
I understand that. But I'm just saying, look, that's why we're progressing to a more perfect union. We go from glory to glory, and hopefully we're better, we're better now than we were 20 years ago.
I'm not sure I view killing other adult male warriors consensually as all that evil, but we often have some interesting ranging conversations on the radio show. Phil. I mean, but this basic point of, so I guess my point here would be, I think there are a number of philosophies that can work as guides for people. Stoicism worked for the Romans. Buddhism worked well enough for the Asians. The West, of course, has always been Christianity combined with Athenian liberalism. And I think that of all the alternatives that work, that one historically has probably worked the best. But this is really more of a philosophical debate than a relevant one, because if you do have any core philosophy, like Japan would become a worse country if everyone started abandoning Buddhism for some reason in favor of, promiscuous sex and dual-style violence and so on. And that's the equivalent of what we're seeing to some extent in the USA. So we've seen in the USA over a fairly short period of time, we've seen many of the social, I guess this gets into where I get active in politics. Mm-hmm. I think there's a very specific movement, which is kind of downstream from communism. And I don't think it's a conspiracy theory.
Right.
I think all of the various postmodern ideas are focused on essentially attacking Western and to some extent human society as evil.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the idea is that almost everything that we identify with and value in the United States, that would include the church, certainly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It would include democratic government in our form. The claim is that minorities aren't truly allowed to speak and other things like this. It would include the family, which is the male ownership of women or whatever the fourth wave feminist claim is, so on. All these things are bad. So this isn't happening coincidentally. Like, you've seen a concerted attack on them.
Yes.
So things that were alternatives to the older model, like prostitution, quote unquote, sex work, are very often glorified by people that want to destroy the older model. And I guess my approach would be we can flex the older model a little bit. I don't think you should be unmarriageable if you had two premarital partners or something like that. Mm-hmm. But the core idea kind of has to stay for the old institutions of the society to stay.
Right.
You could argue we could change the institutions and move forward. But I frankly don't trust the people that are currently in charge to do that. I don't think that a constitution written by, say, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, to pick some very low-hanging fruit, would be on par with one written by Thomas Jefferson.
Because it wasn't just written by Thomas Jefferson. He had a lot of input, no doubt about it, but there were a lot of people participating. Again, like you and I have been talking about, it's coming together, bringing your disparate thoughts, to a solution. And to me, that's the beauty of this Constitution and why it has lasted 247 plus years, which, by the way, on Sunday is U.S. Constitution Day. And I remind our viewers that might be a good excuse to, reintroduce yourself to the Constitution. And just, every time, Will, I got to tell you, every time I read the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, I am in awe. I'm in awe of its simplistic brilliance. And here, the fact that it's withstood this many years and the attacks, from those on the left, neo-Marxists coming in that, supposedly have a better idea. And I say supposedly because so much of what they have to offer is a theory. And when you go back and revisit their theories historically, it comes with a lot of human carnage. I don't want that for my kids or my grandkids.
One of the things about the U.S. Constitution that's actually worth noting is that it doesn't attempt to create a perfect society. Mm-hmm. The founding fathers, like James Madison, were fond of saying things like, if men were angels, there'd be no need for government. But alas, we are not. So the Constitution is full of all these compromises. The great compromise in the Constitution is that the House of Representatives is based on population.
Exactly.
Every person gets a vote, or every man, I suppose, which is at the time unheard of. You still have kings and emperors around the world. However, the Senate represents states, so each state gets two senators regardless of size. And, this just goes on and on and on throughout the document. Even the things that are criticized, like the three-fifths compromise, the claim often is, blacks were treated as three-fifths of a human being.
Right.
First, that wasn't African-Americans, that was slaves, but also that was the anti-slavery position. Slave masters wanted slaves to count as one full person, although slaves couldn't vote, because that would have given the South permanent near-majority representation, at least in Congress.
Right.
And so there was this very eloquent deal made to prevent that. to make it possible for the northern states to down the road, and it wasn't all that long down the road, 1808, that the slave trade was banned, defeat slavery.
Exactly.
Home sales are down 31% across America, and mortgage rates are on the rise. If your home is not selling, you need to call our experts right now at the Quick Cash Hotline. We have investors ready to pay you cash for your property, regardless of the condition it's in. Most of our closings can happen in about 7 days. You don't have to worry about a buyer getting approved. You don't have to worry about showing your home. One simple call right now. Just pick up the phone and call us. I'll give you the number in a second. We will negotiate with you a price to buy your home. It's that simple. If you're ready to sell your home right now, any home, any condition, and you don't want to put money into it, no problem. We'll buy it from you. Call right now. It's a free call.
800-217-6459. 800-217-6459. 800-217-6459. That's 800-217-6459.
News update. There's finally a winner of the enormous Powerball jackpot, a winning ticket worth over $1.7 billion. The second biggest lottery prize in U.S. history was sold in Fraser Park, California. The United Auto Workers strike adding more members. The union said in a tweet that 8,700 UAW members at Ford's Kentucky truck plant are joining the strike. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise has emerged as the Republican Party's choice for Speaker of the House. Two protesters arrested during former college swimmer and women's sports activist Riley Gaines' Real Women's Day event at Pennsylvania University. Former CIA and NSA director and retired Air Force General Michael Hayden has called for Republican Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville to be removed from the human race in a social post. Corey Myers, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Dr. Wilfred Riley. He is the professor of political science at Kentucky State University and author of Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me. It's a book that's coming out soon. Well, when is the release date on that book, Will?
Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, the date is still listed online as early next spring, February. My understanding is we're going to move that up to December so that we can beat the Christmas rush.
Exactly. Get it. Get them in those stocking stuffers, you know. We'll get them in there. Make sure you've got plenty of, you know, intellectual offerings there at Christmas besides, grandma's fruit bread, or, you know, whatever they call it. I forget what they call it.
Yeah,
fruitcake. What is it about fruitcake? And people, you know, so funny, Will, they'll say, well, you haven't had my fruit. It doesn't matter. It tastes like fruitcake. It's like liver. Oh, you just haven't had my way that I cook liver. No, it still tastes like liver. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the fruitcake actually is a pretty tasty thing if you go to, I mean, buddies have told me this in Austria or in some of the Central American countries where they make it with, like, real candied fruits that have been sitting in the sugar for a day. But in America, I mean, they have to endure for 6 months, right? They make them in July. Yeah. So you've got all kind of crap, I'm sure, that's shot in there. You've got basically gummy bears in the cake. Yeah, they're not delicious.
Well, I think what happens between me and you, they go back and they get last year's supply that was left over and they just recycle it, you know? And I guess so if you have some relative that you don't really want to say Merry Christmas to, you send them you know, fruitcake in the mail. I don't know. But
yeah, no, I mean, it's probably something like that. Like, there's the famous old Seinfeld episode about re-gifting where they keep giving each other this junk over years. It's like a good golf driver. I mean, actually, if you're a guy, you recognize some of these presents, like a golf driver, like a book on the Civil War, like a fruitcake. Right, right. The fruitcake's from 1972. So I wouldn't be surprised by that if you tried to actually cut into one of these bad boys because you went to the gym for a week.
Exactly.
Nice breaks. But so it's not the best of the Christmas foods, for sure.
No, not at all. Well, that's like, what, you remember Two Buck Chuck?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right. When it first came out, you know, it was like, okay, this was a heck of a deal for $2, man. You got some wine there. And I would say by experience, the Cabernet Sauvignon, you had to go through about four or five bottles and you might get lucky and get one that tastes halfway decent. But that was my experience anyway. But, then the word got out. It was $2 Chuck. So then you couldn't bring it to parties anymore because, you know, how cheap are you? You know, you're bringing in a $2 bottle of wine. You know, you might as well bring in, you know, a box of wine, right?
Yeah, 40 ounce or something like that. The funny thing about that, though, is that, like, I mean, you're right. You had to go through two or three bottles to get to a bottle that had properly settled and so on. But I mean, that's still $6.
Yeah,
you know, if you're decanting those for, like, a drinking date with a partner or something. I mean, so, like, a bottle of wine, $20, $30. Like, $2 Chuck is a pretty good investment.
Yeah.
If you were, and this is, like, fraternity guys. I knew it, so I had to do this. But, like, you could just pour into a bottle of expensive wine. I know it'd know the difference.
Right.
You know, like, there's this guy who, he's a British TV host who makes fun of a lot of the pretensions of French and, for that matter, American culture.
Right.
And he went to the latest World Wine Cup with all the, like, big Parisian and California and Italian growers. And he basically did that. He took, like, one of the better Paul Rossi bottles. It isn't bad. It's like $18. But he poured it into a bottle of wine that he had made by a glassblower friend and called it, like, Le Cavalier de Colt or something like that.
Right.
And entered it in the show. And it finished, like, third. I mean, this is on Twitter right now. Like, people are saying, like, good earthy notes. Seems like it was made by one of the better Italian winemakers and so on down the line. So, I mean, I personally think, like, most people drink because they like to be a bit buzzed at parties.
Yeah.
This is especially true for a lot of young men and a lot of my female friends. Mm-hmm. Like, I know people put ice cubes in wine, you know, underage, whatever. I don't think most people could tell the difference between a $1,000 bottle of wine and $2 Chuck, in all honesty.
Well, you're exactly right. I remember when I was in LA radio, this is years ago, Will, they had a hoi polloi wine tasting contest, right? They had all these top, connoisseurs there, and they were at the table, and probably a dozen of them, and blindfold test, and at the end of the day, what they ended up selecting was a gold Chablis, the cheapest wine on the table. And I don't know if you remember that gold Chablis that was out,
I know it is.
Yeah, so it was hysterical, you know. After the boy, I'll tell you, they kind of changed the subject really quick after that ceremony.
Yeah, no, I think most things are like that. I mean, I was talking to my students the other day, and this is a historically black college. It's also a state college, so a lot of, like, upper middle class African American and Appalachian kids. And I mean, we were talking about this stuff, like, what's the best brand of car, and people were saying things like, you know, this line of Mercedes. What's the best alcohol? Belvedere. And I mean, I made the point that we think this stuff is expensive because it comes from countries that we have high tariffs on, like France, right. Russia, Germany. I mean, like, yeah. You know, in much of Europe, like, the baseline Mercedes they were talking about is just a car.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Amazon cars are Mercedes mid-sized vans. So the whole idea of luxury consumer spending, like bottle service in the club, you're paying $200 for a $35 bottle of liquor, is pretty silly. And that's how I've always thought about it. Like, your preference in wine is basically based on whether it's more sweet or more sour. I'm sure there's a more polite way to say that, but guys tend to prefer a drier, more sour-tasting wine. Mm-hmm. And so you're just going to pick something that fits that bill. And most right. people aren't wine connoisseurs. They have no idea what year they're drinking and so on.
Exactly. So, well, you know, for me, and I guess I was taught early, and I've always appreciated it this way, when it comes to wine, you pair it up.
Yes,
and
yes,
and there are certain wines when you pair them up with a good steak, that's heaven. You know, then it starts to make sense. But sometimes you know, and then you go into a little bit lighter wine if it's just a social. You just want to have a social glass of wine in your cup, and you're having some hors d'oeuvres. That's a different type of wine, I have a tendency to lean more toward red than white. So, you know, I pick accordingly. But yeah, to me, it's how the taste complements and how it brings out the flavors of the entree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. I mean, there are uses for wine. I mean, like good wine makes a good dinner. Great. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I also think that there are a pretty high percentage of people who are probably functional alcoholics that are involved in like the bourbon trailing in Kentucky or the wine scene out in California. Like, let's go to another winery this weekend. You know, and I'm not sure. I personally think you'd pour gasoline in cups for some of those people and they'd be fine with it. You know, like I don't really know how many of them would require like a 17-ounce porterhouse to enjoy that day out.
No, probably not. Just give them a baguette and some cheese and a glass of kerosene.
Multiple glasses of wine.
They'll be happy. Without a doubt. Our conversation with Dr. Wilfred Riley, professor of political science at Kentucky State University, continues here. Will, I want to talk about the state of our education. I mean, parents are really frustrated. And if the Department of Education, in my humble opinion, doesn't get their act together, you know, parents are going to really insist on some major reform because of, you know, what's going on. And at the top of all this is this idea that education somehow has preeminence over the parents when it comes to their kids.
Yeah, I mean, so I think there are two dimensions here. One is the introduction of inappropriate material into the curriculum. And, I mean, I think the parents are mostly correct about this. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, there are things. Like, the large majority of Americans think there is a place for standard sex education. Like, this is consent. These are the parts. These are the diseases in senior high school. I mean, so that's probably something where most Democrats and most Republicans would actually agree. Right. You know, I mean, you have the marriage manual book from high school with the line drawings in it to avoid the pornography laws and all this. And I mean, like, the average boy would probably find that useful. Like, of course, you can opt your kid out and so on, but I don't think most people have a huge problem with that. But you have stuff that goes well beyond that. I mean, from classic gay literature, like all boys aren't blue in the schools to, and I mean, there's a hilarious scene where I think it's Joe King from Louisiana just read some of the gay sex scenes from that
movie. Wow. Record on Congress. You see the response? Oh, my God. Yeah, exactly.
Well, it was very funny. I mean, here's a guy in a $1,000 Brooks Brothers suit, witty old guy. I mean, he's sitting there like, this is my butt. I mean, I don't want to – I'm not going to read anything explicit for an audience like this one, but it was just – it was one of the most hilarious things I've ever seen. It was on par with the Saturday Night Live skit, given that everyone there was an adult.
And you thought – and you almost thought, okay, I just stepped into an SNL skit. But this is real life. I mean, this is what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, like, I like booty, he told me. I mean, like, is that really something you need in the eighth grade library? I mean, probably not. So there's that on the one hand. And by the way, it goes well beyond, like, debatable books. So, I mean, to me, much more dangerous is the sort of gender indoctrination curriculum.
Exactly.
Where people are told that in addition to sex, so I'll be very blunt about this. I think gender is a complete woo idea.
It was your best vacation ever. You on a beach having a great time. Then some stranger walked up and said, hey, how'd you like to come here for the rest of your life? And then he went on and on about how much money you could save. You listened, saw his presentation, ended up signing a contract. And now, 5 years later, you have a timeshare you never use. But you're still paying for it. That's the contract. But what if we could show you a legal way to end the contract and get out of your timeshare nightmare? It's called Timeshare Exit Defense. Our lawyers will work with the gigantic timeshare company lawyers and get you out of your agreement. No more maintenance fees, no more payments. Call now. Get your free ebook to learn how to exit your timeshare.
800-296-1332. 800-296-1332. 800-296-1332. That's 800-296-1332.
How would you like to save money on nearly all your prescription drugs? We've set up a special toll-free number for the RX Outreach Program. They're a nonprofit company whose mission it is to make prescription drugs more affordable to the masses. They don't take insurance, and in many cases, your prescriptions are even cheaper than your co-pays. They carry thousands of different prescription drugs, so whatever you're taking, there's a good chance they have it. No coupons are required, and this is not a discount card. It is pure savings on your prescription drugs. They specialize in generic meds for any chronic health needs you have. Call with your prescription and find out for free how little you can pay for your prescription drugs. Remember, we don't take insurance, so call right now.
800-705-6581. 800-705-6581. 800-705-6581. That's 800-705-6581.
I need answers to my tax questions. Where can I find them?
Need answers? Try our interactive tax assistant on irs.gov/ITA. Simply select your tax questions, provide your information, and it gives you answers. Also, check our help and resources page and try our online tax map. 5,000 tax topics from A to Z. Plus, you can access forms, publications, in a variety of formats.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Fred Dreyer here for the product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. You know, most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Are you experiencing fatigue and brain fog? So many people complain that in the afternoon, their energy seems to disappear and the brain becomes foggy. Balance 7 neutralizes the acids in your body. This aids your digestion. The energy from food is more effective, and afternoon brain fog fades away. Balance 7 is the answer. Go to balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, balance7.com.
I've worked in unions before, and I resisted them by experience because my takeaway in being associated with unions is it promoted mediocrity. And sure. I just saw this, you know, in my broadcasting career and in so much of other things, particularly in schools, because they are so controlled by the unions. We're not promoting excellence, and we're getting mediocre results. And for all the money that we're investing in this, my goodness, I mean, I appreciate the movement by legislators, you know, our representatives saying, hey, look at the money for education should go with the child. So if it's a charter school or a private school, you know, you have situations where, you know, even elected officials whose children could be going to public schools, but no, they, you know, they're making the money. They can afford it. So they send them to private schools. Why do you send them to private schools? Because they get better education, theoretically.
Yeah, I mean, Corey DeAngelis online, who's a school choice advocate, has developed an argumentative strategy where every time anyone criticizes him for trying to destroy public education, he'll just look up where they sent their kid to school.
Right.
And 95% of the time, he'll just reply, you sent your kid to private school, or you sent your kid to the one charter school in your town. So, yeah, the public schools aren't working.
Right.
And it's a complex question. It's actually not a complex question of why. The public schools are a government near monopoly. They don't really have any competition. They're going to get money no matter what they do. So they've proven to be a very receptive kind of contact point for all these crazy theories that come out of academia and the schools of education. Mm-hmm. So woke is really more prevalent in school than anywhere else.
Yeah,
I mean, that's basically like their entire social media accounts and online broadcast channels like Libs of TikTok that are basically just devoted to calling out teachers and people in one to two other professions who are, you know, filling up the entire classroom experience with the Black Lives Matter signs and various LGBT propaganda and so on down the line. And I think that's kind of easier to do there. Mm-hmm. Like to get a school to buy DEI, SEL, CRT, exactly. Yeah, new age.
Well, and especially if you got a captured audience, if you're like Governor Newsom in California and your wife is a, you know, she's a producer of said material. So you set up a deal and funnel money in her direction to produce these, these curriculum pieces that now are being distributed. I guess their next goal is they're distributing them across the country.
Yeah, I mean, it's fairly hard to avoid. Now, I mean, the right also has impacts on the school system, just because when a state doesn't adopt, for example, a textbook, and it's a large state, the right. textbook generally fails on a national scale. So, I mean, 10 or 12 years ago, there were national debates because states like Texas wanted to include, for example, intelligent design theories in the science textbooks and said, well, if those aren't included for at least a page or two, we're not going to buy the textbook.
Right.
So, but I mean, this doesn't really counter what we're saying. You know, the idea that right can do this too and screw with the schools isn't a plus. You know, so the basic idea is that because this is a public service and it's a captured public service, anyone who wants to sell into that that has a connection to people in power can do so pretty easily.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So,
yeah. And Thomas Sowell wrote a book in, I think, 2020 talking about this, Charter Schools and Their Enemies,
mm-hmm.
where at one point, I noticed this because I'm what's called a culturalist on IQ. There are test score differences between groups, and I don't think that most of them, like the difference between Caucasian, Hispanics, and other whites, are plausibly due to either genetics or racism. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are basic cultural things, like the amount of time people in each group study for school, that predict like 90% of this. But this book, and I think most people would, at a commonsensical level, agree with that.
Right.
In kind of a 10,000 hours sense. Like, the more you study for a tough class, the better you'll probably do in that class.
Exactly.
The more you practice your jump shot, the better you'll be at basketball. But the one line from the book is that students who went to good charter schools, they were free of all this poison of the school system. We've broken down a lot of it. The dumb union teachers, bluntly, the ideological indoctrination, the mm-hmm. crazy companies selling all these prep guides, all this. Students who just went to school and learned to read and read the Iliad. Right. If you looked at the same population of kids, like people that applied to get into the charter school but were rejected for whatever reason,
right.
versus people who applied and got in, it's just random selection. The people who applied and got in years down the road scored about 200 points higher on the SAT. So, like, we know there's an alternative model that works pretty well. The question is, how do you get through all the free riders and debt loaders and so on that are exploiting the current model?
Exactly. And mediocritizing the process. It was interesting to your point. I don't know if you saw this graph or not. I think it was just released last week where it took the demographics and you know, by race, the amount of time that kids were, you know, dedicating to their education.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if you saw, but I mean, Asians were off the charts. I mean, because of the, you know, to your point, how much time and dedication. I mean, Kobe Bryant. That was his mentality. He said, look, I know I'm willing to put in 3-4 hours a day to be the best basketball player ever. And look at him. Look what happened. I mean, the results, were quite obvious because of the effort that he put in to his game. And we're forgetting that part of the conversation that is so critical. And here we want to, you know, malign Asian kids because they perform so well in the education process. But look at they've earned it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an almost total meritocrat. I think that in each field, the people that do the best should be the people we reward.
Yes.
And that's the best thing for society overall. I mean, no one wants to watch an NBA basketball game that's a bunch of 5-6 guys, you know, equally divided by race, trudging up and down the court, you know, bricking mid-range jump shots. I know you want to watch a bunch of speedy brothers and Russians dunking the ball. And right. I mean, because those are the groups that currently, there may be a slight genetic factor there.
Right.
But I mean,
right.
those are the groups also that currently play the most basketball. Basketball is the national sport of Yugoslavia, which mm-hmm. is where Slovenia, Bosnia, Macedonia, all those countries that produce those warrior-looking guys in the league
exactly.
are. They're located in the center of that former heartland.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Same thing for Asians in reverse. Obviously, we shouldn't penalize it. But the graphic that Bill's referring to, for anyone listening, is from a 2017 Brookings Institute study that tried to figure out why people actually do well in school. And they looked at the racism explanation and in the gingerly way that liberals do. They touched on genetics for 3.2 seconds. And then they actually just asked kids how much they studied and then confirmed that with their parents.
Right.
And Asian American kids study twice as much as whites and three times as much as blacks, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's it. Like, we don't need any wild theories. The only claim is that there might be an impact of racism or genes on that. But, like, we know that if any group of reasonably intelligent people, Irishmen or Jamaicans, were to study that much, they do about as well. They just don't.
Exactly. Well, and plus, all the scientific, oh, follow the science, you know, the science study of the human brain and how elastic it is and what it's able to produce. I mean, you've got kids. Well, you know, we've heard the stories. We've seen the evidence of kids that should not be performing. You know, like Dr. Carson, for example, this guy's being raised by a single mom with a third grade education level. And he and his brother go on and do incredible things. I mean, and this is just one of many stories like this in the naked cities of America.
Yeah, I mean, there probably is an element of natural genius to some extent. Like, for example, I was a pretty good basketball player, and as I recall, you're a pretty good athlete. But, I mean, like, listening to talking about Kobe Bryant, like, Kobe Bryant's also 6'7".
Yes.
Like, he looks small on the court because he stands next to Shaq.
Yes.
Or Pau Gasol from Spain, like the mountain highlands of Spain.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, that also helps. Like, yeah. I mean, I've seen guys who have the same handle that Kobe Bryant does that played high school varsity ball because they were 6'1".
Right.
So, I mean, like, so there's also that. But given that you're reasonably fit and you're not an inhuman height, you're 6'6", like, what's going to determine whether you make it to the league as opposed to a D2 basketball team is your amount of practice. It's your amount of hours on the court. And, yeah, Kobe was famous for having what he called the Mamba mentality, where he'd go out for 4 hours a day, he'd practice, he'd play with weights around his ankles. And in America right now, it's the East Asian kids and the Indian kids that are playing with weights around their ankles academically, that are going home
exactly right.
A tutor. Yeah.
Exactly right. Yeah, Tiger Woods, how many golf balls do you think he hit every day?
I mean, 1,000. Tiger Woods is, like, there's a story about Tiger Woods talking to his dad, Earl, who was an Army Master Sergeant and also a pretty good amateur golfer.
Right.
And Earl Woods said he used to hit golf balls until his hands cracked a little bit. You had calluses and a little bit of blood. And that might be a slight father's exaggeration, but, I mean, you can do that.
Yeah.
And so Tiger Woods went out and hit 500 golf balls, and he came home, and he's like, my hands are sore, but they're not bleeding. How long before they bleed? And Earl Woods just looked up from a dinner steak and said, a lot longer. that's what true hustle is. Like, I mean, you have the best people in the world at running are Kenyans, who, again, might have a slight physical advantage, but who also run 50 miles a day.
Yeah, but see, in Kenya, all the hills are, they're all downhill, though, Will. You know, so they get an advantage. I'm just kidding. You know that.
I mean, I think a real advantage, if you were making, like, friendly jokes about different nations, is they don't have cars or bicycles. I mean, I think they'll be significantly worse at running in 50 years. You know, that's coming up for upper middle income countries. So, I mean, if you got guys driving around in Yugos and so on, you're not going to have as many marathoners. But
if it's not an electric vehicle, we may be running anyway. We're all going Amish pretty soon. So, you know, with all these manifestos that, you know, President Biden and the Greenies want, you know, to have, you know, for all of us to be at net zero by 2050, and there's no projection of an infrastructure to produce said results. But we're going to head that way anyway. Dr. Wilfred Riley, is always an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Our thanks to Dr. Wilfred Riley, the professor, a political professor at Kentucky University. And thank you, you know, for joining us today as we continue this fight to save our country and to return to God. And we need you. OK, so may God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you and give you peace. Thank you so much for being with us. Have a great day.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.